Podcast.
Today we're talking about digital accessibility. It's an essential part of our approach to digital content to make sure it's available for everyone, but it also goes much further than that. It can make our website inclusive and improve the experience for everyone. Here's my conversation with Lauren and Eileen, who know much more about it than I do. So I'm joined today by Lauren McBrain and Eileen McConnell. They're our digital engagement service manager and website developer. And we're talking today about digital accessibility. So Lauren, I'll start off with you. What exactly do we mean when we say digital accessibility?
Well, digital accessibility, which has been around for a long time now, for us, means allowing everyone to access our sort of digital services, whether that's our websites or applications that we put out for customers to use. So for us, it's all about making sure that the information we put out there can be sort of consumed in whatever way works best for the individual, and that nobody's sort of excluded from being able to access our digital services, and that we sort of make sure we're building all of our systems with that in mind from the beginning.
I mean, people probably think, that's people with disabilities, and obviously, I'm sure that's part of it, and that is important. But that's not the full extent, is it?
No. So when we're talking, when you say accessibility, the first thing that comes to mind is sort of making sure that stuff works for people with disabilities, and that is obviously a large part of what we are doing, but more than that, it's about making sure that the data, like I say, can be used in whatever way works for people. Because not everyone uses the internet in the same way or accesses services in the same way. As we've seen over the last decade or so, the use of mobile phones has absolutely boomed. So most of our traffic now is on a mobile device. It used to be that it was quite unusual for websites to work well on mobiles, but now everyone kind of goes for a mobile first approach. And that in itself is a kind of a type of accessibility you're creating there. You're making sure that your data works, or the view of your data works across different platforms. And it goes wider than that as well, because I think what we're seeing is more and more people using digital services in their own way. We've got AI bots and things like that nowadays available on phones. Things can be read out to anyone and everyone. So the days of screen readers being only available to folk who have very specialized equipment and software is gone. So that's something that, again, people use a lot. Folk expect things like subtitles to be on everything, again, because they consume information in lots of different ways and in different environments. So it's not just about meeting the needs of people with disabilities, although that is a hugely important part of all of this, of course, it's making sure that everyone can get to it and that we're not putting up unnecessary barriers in front of people. Because we've gone to all this trouble of building all these things. We want to make sure that everyone can actually use them and access our services and get to all the stuff that they need.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's a really important point, isn't it? It's making sure it's there for everybody, but essentially, I suppose, anywhere and anyhow. So, when I'm out and about, I can still access all the services on my phone in whatever way, silently read to me, depending whether what I'm doing. So, yeah, and hopefully that'll just make it all around easier. So, obviously that takes a lot of thought and design. So Eileen, what do we need to do with our websites and the digital and things to make sure they're actually accessible from the start? Because I imagine that takes a good bit of thought and design on your part to actually make sure that it does look as simple at the end of the day.
Yes, there's lots of layers to it. I mean, it goes down from the fundamental actual design and templates of your websites and your, your apps and everything that everybody uses, to the documents that we're putting on, to what, to the way we put things on our web pages. There's, different way. So if for us as the web team, we will build the website to make sure it's accessible. It's got all the right tools in it so that people can use it on a screen reader, they can tab through if they're not using the kind of standard keyboard mouse, or you know, people with limb differences and things like that. And then you would go on to actually building your web pages. Every time you build a web page, there's just standard things that you would do to make sure that it's clear and it's accessible for everyone. And then putting documents on as well. As a council, we use a lot of documents, so they have to be designed, set up in a way before we publish them online to make sure that they can also be accessed by everybody, including people using things like screen readers. So there's just loads of parts of it. Some of it is things that we would do ourselves on the web team, and some of it we're sort of training all our services to be able to produce information and digital content that's always going to be accessible from the start. So yeah, lots of layers to it, but the more we can embed this from the start of the process, you know, to think about accessibility before you even think while you're creating your content, rather than seeing it as an afterthought, that makes such a difference, because it's so much easier just to make small tweaks to the way we're presenting things, and that means it's going to be accessible for everyone.
And I suppose, you know, that sounds to me like there's all the technical aspects that you and Lauren get involved in, but there's how people write things in the first place and the format that they use that's important as well as part of this. Because you say a lot of it, we post documents, often they've been somewhere else first and to a formal meeting and things. So it's right through the process then that we need to think of it, not just from a IT point of view.
Absolutely, yeah, it applies to everything we're going to potentially be putting online. So getting it embedded right from the start, and the idea that it's only small changes you maybe have to make to the formatting of your document, but it makes a really big difference to how people will be able to access that when they're accessing our digital content. So it's getting them embedded that it's not just us doing the technical parts of it. It's everybody's responsibility now within the council.
Yeah, important point. We'll come touch on that again in a second. But how do we gauge our accessibility, Lauren? Then, you know, we say we want it to be accessible. Is there a standard or something that we can judge ourselves on to know how well we're doing with that?
Absolutely. So as we sort of delve into all the acronyms here, but we comply with certain guidelines, and its full title is the W3C, which is the World Wide Web Consortium, WCAG, Web Content Accessibility Guidelines 2.1. And that's the standard that we kind of have to actually try and achieve, because the legislation came into place in 2018, which kind of means that all government and local authority and other public sector bodies have to comply with and have to make sure that their digital services are accessible. So, I mean, we were already doing this before then, thankfully, so it wasn't a big change for us. But those are the guidelines that we aim towards. We're actually up in the game a little bit. We're aiming towards the 2.2 guidelines because we want to try and future-proof ourselves a little bit. But the way we gauge it, one of the main ways we do is we've got this system called SilkTide, which is our site checking software. And that tells us, you know, where there are accessibility issues on the site. So it'll flag those up to us and we can go in and fix those. And those might be on an individual page, or they might be, like as Eileen said, at the template level where we have to fix it sort of deep down in the system and make sure that it works, it does it makes a change on every page. So SilkTide is really important for us for checking that. But they also, SilkTide themselves, also produce this thing called the index report every month. And this is one of the few ways that we can actually kind of benchmark ourselves, I guess, against other local authorities. So that comes out at the start of every month and score you out of 100. So I'm delighted to say the last few months we've been getting 99 out of 100. And I think we were ranked just in the most recent one as 22nd in the UK. So it's just pretty good going for us. We're still trying to climb up that ladder a bit more, but you know, it's we're getting to the stage now where the things that we need to fix are very, very specific challenges. And that can be because of things like documents that are within our modern.gov system, you know, for the minutes, agendas and minutes. So it's stuff that we don't really have the kind of ability to directly change. But sometimes we don't need to change those things because under this legislation, there is an allowance for certain types of documents. So it's not a foolproof kind of ranking this, but it gives us a good sense of how we're doing. And I think it shows the amount of work that's been put in over the years to make sure that our site is accessible. And this, I must say, this is only for our main corporate website just now. It doesn't rank our other sub-sites, but we're always trying to improve their standing as well. We use Silktide to kind of monitor those and make sure they're up to scratch as well.
Wow, 99% in 20 seconds. That's pretty good going. and what's Silktide looking for then when it goes and checks our website? Because that sounds a really clever example of using AI in what we do, but presumably it's looking for specific things not being quite right.
So Silktide, so the guidelines have a lot of individual things that you need to check for. So things like colour contrast on pages, you know, whether or not the background and foreground are sufficiently different enough from each other. Making sure that all of our images on the site have what's called alternative text, so that if you hover your cursor over a mouse, it gives you a wee description of what that image is. And those are... There are hundreds and hundreds of these things that Silktide checks for, and it goes through it all. And it makes sure that we're as compliant as we can be. And you mentioned AI there. We do actually use a little bit of that within the Silktide system, because what it'll do is it'll also give us some suggestions as to ways that things can be potentially fixed. Now, it's not foolproof. It doesn't always work. It needs a human to make sure that it's actually a sensible approach to doing things. But it does give us that additional bit of information there as to, well, you know, you're doing it this way, you might consider refactoring your page and making it look like this. So there's lots of interesting sort of tech advances there happening with these kind of checking tools that allow us to make better changes to the site. But I think what's important is that we always do a human testing at the end of that, because obviously computers see things a bit differently to us. And this ultimately, the aim of all this is to make everything as readable to a human being as possible. So so there is always going to be that element of requiring that additional sort of check of a pair of human eyes or clicks of a mouse or whatever it might be, making sure that this thing works.
Yeah, it's pretty clever, as you say. It's like great that it's sort of twofold with that. So I presume that's sort of sending you and Eileen sort of where you need that human interaction to see it, test it, or fix it as part of it. And what do we do for, you know, Eileen, you spoke about your staff needing to think about that, and you know, it's right from the sort of drafting right through. Are there sort of training and tools available for staff to help with them with that?
Yes, we've developed a training course for our staff, which is now available in Leon on the learning system. So that's live. We've got some guidance materials on our staff intranet as well, which goes into a bit more depth about it, about particular types of documents like Word documents and PowerPoints and things like that. And built into the Microsoft products that we use, the MS365 products that we use, there's an accessibility checker built in, so you can be checking your document as you're creating it as well, and it'll flag up if it thinks the color contrast isn't the right ratio, or if you've missed an alternative text off an image that you've put in your document, heading structures, loads of little bits that are small things to change in documents, but the tools within Microsoft are really quite good now, and you can use the checker as you're going along as well, and alongside the training materials that are provided, so that people know before they start what they're looking out for.
No, that's lots of things to help people then, so it's not, you don't have to be an expert, as I'm sure both of you are, in terms of some of this. You can use a lot of help to get it right.
Yeah, loads of tools there within the stuff that we're working with already to help you along with it.
And what do you do when you do find a problem? You know, how easy is it to fix? How involved is all of that?
Do you want me to take that one, Lauren?
You take the technical one, I mean. Yeah, go for it.
If it's within web pages or documents, we work with the services to let them know that there is issues with them, and we can help them update their documents and provide them with training so that, you know, we do sort of one-to-one or group training with our staff as well, to so that for next time round they've got that background and they've got the knowledge for it. But and we've retrospectively gone in and updated thousands of documents on our website now, I think it is, to make sure, you know, older documents that maybe weren't compliant when they were published, but now we're moving to try and make sure that everything that we're publishing is compliant. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure people do kind of get slightly fed up with us when we say, oh, we've got some accessibility issues here, can we sort them out before you publish? And that's why we're trying to kind of get the message across as much as we can, that if we embed it from the start, then you don't have to have us moaning at you to get them updated and changed. But we work a lot with services, particularly on documents, because, you know, the amount of documents that we do publish for our information, and we can handhold and help as much as we can to make sure that before something's published, we've done our absolute best to make sure it's going to be accessible for everyone.
And I think there's also those are definitely issues that we can have solved by people who are non-technical, don't have the sort of maybe the skills or experience to, you know, with websites or whatever. We can allow anyone to be able to make those changes. But there are, of course, additional ones that we get flagged up every so often that are perhaps a bit more complex. And we usually find that those are because of changes to the guidelines. For example, recently they changed again, coming back to colour contrast, it was a minor colour contrast change. So we had to go in and change that from our template level. That's a much more involved job than for example, changing text on a page or changing, you know, adding an alt text to an image. But it's kind of sure there's a wide range there. But the vast majority, I would say, that come in day to day are what Eileen's just described. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, there's, apart from not having nagged by the two of you, there's a bigger benefit of not only that everybody can use the website, which we absolutely want to be the case, but I suppose also being a digital by default organization, you know, really we want that to be so easy that that's the option people choose, and that helps them get access to the information 24/7 and reduces the amount of inquiries that we have to take time to deal with. So there's a definite win-win in there, I think, for people. So what else are you working on to enhance accessibility? What are the next things people might see?
Most of the changes we've got coming up in terms of these things are for our other systems. So most of the accessibility sort of big changes we'll be working on in the near future are for the new applications that we're deploying through what's called our Create platform. So we're building that out now to be fully accessible. And that's where a lot of our interactive sort of transactional services will be based moving forward. So we're keen to make sure that obviously that all works for everyone. But in terms of, this is not a new thing, but it's something we're trying to promote or everyone make sure they know about. We've got on our website a thing called Recite Me, which is a toolbar, which if you go on our website in the top right-hand corner, you'll see a wee orange button that says Accessibility Tools. And that'll open up. And that's a range of tools within that that can be of assistance to folks. So it's got things like it's got text to speech. It's got things that you increase and decrease the font size. You can change the font for the site to one that works better for you. You can change the color scheme for the site. So if you want blue text on a yellow background, you can have that. And it's got other features like a ruler you can have on the page that you can scroll down. So if you're dyslexic, for example, you might find that more useful for reading down a long page of text or various other things. So it's a really useful toolbar. And one of the other big features it's got, which is not really, well, I guess it is accessibility. It's not accessibility in the technical sense of what we've been discussing with the guidelines I've been mentioning, but in terms of the wider concept for accessibility, is it does translation. So you can translate the site into a variety of different languages. And a lot of those have the text-to-speech functionality as well. And not just a sort of robotic voice, but an actual proper text to speech using all the accents, etc., within that language. So it's opens up to hopefully a wide range of people. And one of the things we did is actually pull out Gaelic from that as well and put it front and centre onto our website. So if you click on the Gaelic button, it actually uses our toolbar to convert the whole site into Gaelic. And you can read that out if you so wish as well. So if you want to brush up on your Gaelic or things, then it's a fantastic way to kind of do that and, you know, use the site. So those are a few things that we're looking at. I think largely, though, it might be that people don't necessarily notice the differences until they need to consume data in a slightly different way. So it's things like not even taking it for granted that things will work on your mobile phone or on your tablet device or whatever it might be. So it's one of these things that if it works well, you shouldn't really notice it a lot of the time. It just is there and does what you need it to do. The information is there and easily accessible to you.
I mean, it absolutely blows my mind at how clever the systems are that they can read to you now. When, as you say, you know, I remember you used to need specialist software and things like that. And yeah, I think for any Gaelic learners, that's being able to do it in Gaelic, that's like a really good tool to up your proficiency on that. I imagine as well, I mean, one of the things I'm conscious of, remember hearing recently data about the number of people that are now using generative AI like ChatGPT and things to as their sort of main search engine, and I presume it's also the accessibility for those tools to scoop up the information and then relay it to people so that we get our information appearing in those searches. Is that becoming an issue as well?
Well, that's long been something I've always seen. That's always a slightly sort of an issue that goes alongside what we're talking about here. It's called SEO, search engine optimization. But that, coupled with accessibility guidelines and adhering to, you know, this sort of quite strict outline of how we deploy our languages and stuff like that on the website, how we build our site from the ground up using HTML and CSS and all these things, that all comes together to make sure the site can be read by all of these systems. So if we're doing things the correct way, and it's all, you know, quite dry kind of stuff when you get under the hood here, but if the site is built correctly using the correct technologies, done and deployed in the correct way with the proper SEO and accessibility, then that makes our site rank much higher in things like Google, makes the information that these AI large language models are pulling out much more accurate. So, yeah, it's absolutely in our interest to make sure that we are doing all of these things, because as these applications develop over the years, we're going to see them getting cleverer and cleverer. But if we're not keeping up with the sort of proper way of doing things, then we may fall behind. And we don't want that.
But it sounds like we're doing pretty well to keep up from what you've said so far. But just to finish up, maybe what are your future goals for where we get to with accessibility?
Well, from my perspective, obviously, I want to see us, you know, ever climbing up that ranking. Not that I'm competitive with our colleagues and other local authorities, but always it'd be nice to climb higher on that. But more importantly, making sure that we are, like Eileen was saying there, the stuff that's coming into us is accessible as much as possible accessible when we receive it onto the website. Because what we want to do is sort of lessen the kind of load in terms of, or the bottleneck really that we see where it's information is coming and it has to get fixed and then published. So that's the sort of stuff that I think we are trying to really achieve here, because we're at the stage now where we're doing so well with the accessibility. We know we're complying with it like 99% of what we need to do, and the last wee bits and pieces are really where we need our colleagues and across services to sort of help out when they can. And hopefully they don't see this as a big sort of onerous job on them, but rather it's just going to become part of creating a document or creating a new piece of content. And I think if we get to that stage, then everything comes much smoother. And it also means that we can focus on other aspects of the website as well, and hopefully developing new, interesting applications.
Great. And Eileen, any other goals you're aiming for?
Just like Lauren says, it would be nice to see it just becoming part and parcel of the way we do our work. You know, people would never dream of creating a public building without disabled access to it. So it would be nice to see that in the same way with information as well, that all our information is by default, it's going to be accessible for everyone. And it just becomes the way we do it, the way we present our information. So yeah, that would be a nice goal. I did see a nice example on a American tourism website where for the alternative text or for the images, because it's a very visual website, they coupled with local songwriters and got them to write all the alternative text as song lyrics, which was really rather nice. But don't think we're quite at that stage yet. I think we'll just stick to the basics.
Don't ask me to sing for the website. It won't be pleasant.
It was a lovely example of how they were going above and beyond to make not just accessible, but to be appealing to people with visual impairments particularly. But if we can get the basics embedded, I think that would be great.
Oh, I think that's a lovely goal. And I love the analogy of, you know, a building will make sure that they look nice and they're accessible to everyone. Same goes for all our information. Fantastic. Hopefully that's given people an insight into some of the tools. I think be going away and clicking on the recite to me. Just to have a look and see what it can do for me, see what language it can talk to me in. But great, thank you. Really appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
It's great to hear from Lorne and Eileen how well we're already doing on accessibility and about all the new tools. I'd really encourage you to check out the features in the Recite Me toolbar. And if you're a member of staff, why not complete the online course to help ensure that your content is fully accessible for your audience?
Pippa's Podcast.